Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
What a day for Star Wars. Welcome to episode 124 of Star Wars and Scotch. Oh my God, Tim, we got so much to talk about.
So many surprises.
Tim, I just dropped bombs on Tim in the like, we go over the show notes with Paul and everything before we start, and just all bombs. He doesn't know things that I'm about to say today.
It's been a very busy week, so Kevin's on top of it, thank God.
So good. We're off to PAX tomorrow. We're going to Boston, so if you're up in Boston and you want to see me and Tim, just shoot us a message. Maybe we'll go to the bar.
No.
Watch the Pets game.
No.
You want to go to Fenway Park again?
Don't mess.
You went to Fenway Park last time.
I did. I had a great time.
We're off to PAX, but man, we had the Jedi Survivor trailer drop. We had a very good episode of Bad Batch. That, like we said, the end of Bad Batch is going to have significant impacts on the future of Star Wars. And then Mando was like, "Here's this bomb."
So good.
Here's this thing you didn't know was going to happen. Also, we found out that there is an heir to the Vizsla throne, which was very interesting. So we'll talk about it in just a bit. But before we get going, make sure you're drinking that King's Coast coffee this morning, because that is what's keeping me and Tim awake during a crazy week. I'm going to set the timer on my coffee pot tomorrow morning. That way I can drink it on the way to the airport.
Oh, you have a morning flight. I have an evening flight. So
6:44 a.m. tomorrow.
Ooh, that's a fun
flight.
One.
Yeah. But you can't beat a first class ticket for $289. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Had to take that one. I did a hacker fare, so I'm JetBlue on the way back, but I couldn't pass that one up.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm flying first class, but I'm still not going to drink their crappy coffee.
I'm not.
Drink King's Coast.
I'm sitting in the back.
Really, Tim?
Wow. I couldn't find a first class ticket for $200, Kevin.
$289.
Okay, I still couldn't find a first class ticket for $289.
But anyway, kingscoastcoffee.com. If it makes you feel any better, I was at the front of the plane for JetBlue, which is business class. They don't have first class. And then my mom is coming this weekend to see the kids because she has an event in Orlando. Mm-hmm. So my wife and my mother made me change my flight to the first flight out of Boston on Sunday morning. And now I'm in the back of the plane for that. So anyway,
Wait, I have an actual sound effect for that. Hold on. Nope, that's the wrong one.
Try again.
There we go.
God, that was the best. I miss hitting buttons when I'm talking to chat and messing with them. I remember when you would show up and I'd be like, "Hello, darkness, my old friend."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way back when. During
back
the golden
in the olden
age
days.
Of streaming.
When it was fun. What?
Still fun.
KingsCoastCoffee.com. Right. Make sure you get some. I'm going to be drinking some at 5:30 in the morning tomorrow on my way to the airport. GCX, again, Star Wars fans. I have this list of Star Wars related things over here on this yellow legal pad.
Leak it.
That I can't show you.
All right, everyone pause, enhance, and then post it on Twitter. I'll retweet it.
It was the back of the paper anyway.
Kevin can't stop us if we all work together.
Enhance. GCXevent.com/tickets. We got some cool stuff. I want these announcements to go out, but we're bogged down by paperwork.
Lawyers are no fun.
They suck.
They suck.
No offense, John, our lawyer out there.
Sorry, John.
Show.
You're great. But yeah, Rosen Shingle Creek Resort in Orlando, Florida, August 4th to the 5th. Head on over to g6event.com. Oh, we should have done it in tandem, Kevin. That would have been fantastic.
g6event.com/tickets works again, too. So you can use either one and get you there. And I got this nice, I know it's not time yet. It's time soon, next month. But I got this nice Lab 77 comfy sweatshirt that I'll be wearing in Boston as well for GCX.
Good.
All right.
So I was taking a picture. That's going on Instagram. That's perfect.
Me holding my nipples.
A picture of you holding your nipples. Doing this. Yep. That's fantastic. That's going on. That's a story.
Hot.
Fantastic.
Hot. What do you want to talk about? You want to start with Bad Batch?
Yeah. Let's get Bad Batch out of the way because it was a short episode and like the really good stuff was like long? Really compressed.
It was long for Bad Batch though. It was a half an hour.
As opposed to 25 minutes?
Normally they're like 21 minutes, 19 minutes.
Okay. I mean, like we had two different stories kind of going on at the same time. So like, it was really good. So we know that Echo and Rex have been up to, you know, some really interesting things. They're building up kind of like their own little underground network of clones between, them and people that are like underground, like they're actual like clones that are still in the Empire. And then they have like,
makes sense for how we meet Rex and Rebels.
Right. Exactly.
Like perfect sense.
Right. So. Yeah. So all this like really connects really well together. We know that Rex was already doing this. So yeah, I really liked watching like Echo and Rex just kind of like go about doing like their thing. Like that was really fun and interesting. The thing that got me, which this entire episode from start to finish, it made me constantly think about the Death Trooper program. Again, I can't stop thinking about it. And when we get to Hadlock,
Hemlock.
And knowing
you're
that
Hemlock.
I'm Havelock. I thought he was Headlock. He's Hemlock. So when we get to him, we know that he was ex-Republic. He was an ex-Republic scientist.
Yep.
And he got removed from the Republic because of his unorthodox practices, which I thought was fantastic. It was really good.
That's always a good sign.
Right away, dude. I was like, oh, so he's Dr. Frankenstein. Perfect.
Literally.
Literally Dr. Frankenstein. And then we find out that he's in charge of the Deep Science Division. Deep Science Division has only come up a handful of times in books and like in shows and stuff. Like they don't really talk about it very often, but we know that in the Deep Science Division, they are doing some really, really dark shit.
Yep.
So I really, truly think that they are taking all of these clones that are quote unquote defecting or challenging the Empire and they're shipping them off to wherever the heck they're going. And they're experimenting on them. They are trying to perfect the clone. And they know that Omega is a key to this. But I don't know what with Omega equals or unlocks this next part of the clone trooper. I'm really, really lost there.
Do you remember the trailer for the zombie stormtroopers, the Project Blackwing virus?
Yeah, but wasn't that fan made?
There is a canon version of it, and there's a Legends version of it.
I thought that video was, like, fan-made.
The video is fan-made, but the Project Blackwing is legit. That comes from the Galactic Empire's Imperial Military Department of Advanced Weapons Holy cow, that is a mouthful. Advanced Weapons Research. The Blackwing virus, also known as the sickness. Why do I feel like Dr. Hemlock?
Shit. Okay, So real quick,
somehow be involved in that.
So by 13 BBY. So this this is the canon. This is the canon Star Wars fandom excerpt for the description. By 13 BBY, Project Blackwing was active and to capitalize on rumors, the top secret Project Emperor Palpatine named the Death Troopers of Imperial Intelligence after the undead troopers of Project Blackwing, which were also referred to as Death Troopers.
So Blackwing, to me, all stands, feels like the first phase gone wrong or a piece of it gone wrong. And this is how we get to those zombie stormtroopers.
And like, there's been a big shift in the lens. And I noticed that today. I was like, man, this feels really dark. And go back to the other one with the monster, the Zilla Beast. That was also shot in like an alien style like lens. And so it's like it feels like every time we go back to the Empire, the vibe, the lens, just the overall just atmosphere of those shots feels very dark, kind of scary a little bit. Kyler was watching with me. I was like, hey, buddy, do you want to like sit next to me? Are you a little scared? Because it was just like it was dark. And so, yeah, I definitely could. You, I mean, like, I feel like if they're building up, they're ramping up to this Black Wing, or they're getting to the first Death Troopers and stuff. Like, if you continuously just like every episode, you get a little bit darker and a little bit darker, you kind of like ease them into like essentially a horror show.
Even Hemlock's voice is,
dude, he's so evil, so evil.
He just talks like this.
Who so voices soft. Him?
Let me look.
Because I thought that was it sounded like Sam.
Let me see. So, Bad Batch. What other episode was he in? Because sometimes they don't have the credits for the day of.
He was episode. Two episodes ago.
So, season two. Let's see. Pabu. Hemlock. No. So, yeah, they don't have the credits from today. So, two episodes ago was Metamorphosis.
That's the one.
Dr. Royce Hemlock is voiced by Jimmy Simpson. Oh, yeah. You know him. It's one of the McPoyles.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
It's one of the McPoyles.
From there Sunny. You go. Holy shit.
He's also, okay, he's also in Westworld. He was also
Westworld,
in Westworld.
Black Mirror.
He plays the man in the black hat when he's younger. Sorry, spoilers.
He's in Black Mirror, too.
I didn't know he was in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so Dr. Hemlock is I don't know which
one of the McPoyle.
No, Doyle's the big one. I don't remember. One of the McPoyle brothers. He's a good actor. Oh
yeah,
my
he's
God.
Really good. That's fantastic. That's really good.
So yeah, Dr. Hemlock is straight out of a horror movie. And even the use of the interrogation droid, the way they framed it was terrifying. Because in the past, I mean, in the 70s and the early 80s, the interrogation droid was probably like, oh, wow, you know, sci-fi, cool. Da, da, da.
As you see the strings hanging onto it and as it floats.
Yeah, but after a while, you're like, you see this little black floaty thing, and you probably giggle to yourself a little bit like, that's good. Okay. The way they framed it in this was like, oh, I'm uncomfortable right now with the use of this interrogation droid.
Yeah, because you never actually watch it, like, inject its truth serum into people. You never see that. You know, you see it come in like in episode 4 when you see it for the first time, like the door shuts as it gets closer to Leia. Like you never actually see it like insert the needle and inject them, like all that stuff. So yeah, like it's getting darker and darker. Like Bad Batch is starting to get like to that like teen, like that older teen kind of like realm, which like I'm totally fine with. I love dark Star Wars, so bring it.
The other thing that I found interesting from that part was when he radios the message to them that barely goes through, he says Project 88, which has something to do with the Seeker. That's, I don't know if it's a coded message or something along those lines.
I couldn't figure out if Project 88 was something that they already knew about or it's something new that he found out about and he was trying to let them know, because when Hunter heard it, like it felt like he kind of knew what that meant.
This in mind when thinking about this, the last episode of this season is called Plan 99.
Right. And this is Clone Force 99.
Clone Force 99, Plan 99, Project 88, and Order 66.
Yeah. So either really like throwing numbers up against each other.
Yeah. I don't know if there's significance across the board there, but I picked that out. I was like, that's interesting. Why is that? You know, and they're already setting the tone for they're gonna leave Pabu, which I'm like,
oh,
just
yeah.
Stay there.
Well, I love how Pabu is just like back to normal already.
Like,
they went through this massive earthquake and tsunami, and they're just like, eh, everything's back together. We built the dock. Just like, okay,
it's island life, Tim.
Sick.
It's like,
yeah, dude,
Jimmy Buffett land in Star Wars. They're like, yeah, we'll rebuild. Let's bring some lava shrimp.
They're so happy. We got to Pabu, and Kyler goes, "I like the girl, the children." Who are the children? And he's just like, yeah, because he likes it because everyone's so happy there. Like, Pabu is just a really nice place, but we can't let the clones be happy. So we definitely have to rip them out. Wrecker looks like he's having a ball. Wrecker
is
just
a big kid.
Like, yeah, he's just having the time of his life. And, you know, so this is how I see it. They're either going to leave Wrecker there or Wrecker's going to kick and scream the entire way going back under the ship, because I don't think he wants to go. Is everyone saying like he's an integral part of the community? And it's just like, oh no, yeah.
We need
they
this huge stone moved. I got it.
Oh, I got it.
I want to know your thoughts. All right, so connecting this all, let's say Hemlock is building the Dark Trooper program, which you and me are pretty on board with that theory.
Yeah.
How does Omega connect to all of this?
I don't know. And that's what I was saying earlier. I don't know how Omega fits into any of this. Like, we still have yet to figure out what makes Omega so special. We can go back to season one, and we know that she was having, like, feelings or inclinations to, like, bad events, or, like, when things were about to happen, which originally made me think that she had clone DNA and she had Jedi DNA. It wouldn't be crazy to think that, you know, that would have happened. We had Jedi that were on Kamino that were training other clones. You know, they were generals. They were there. They were very much so involved. You know, who's to say that it wasn't just a Kaminoan scientist who, like, had some Jedi DNA and just kind of threw it in there? I don't know. I still have yet to figure out why Omega is so important. There's nothing has happened since the first season of when she, like, when we first met her, like, those first, like, two or three episodes, we're like, holy shit, Omega might be a Jedi. Or might be Force sensitive. Like, that's the only time I remember going, like, oh, she's special. Outside of that, and knowing that she and Boba are the same, like, they are
he's alpha, she's omega.
Like, that's the only thing that we really know about. I could be wrong. Someone tweet at me if I am wrong. You guys have actually been really good about that. People have been, like, very active of, like, hey, you guys have been saying this, but I'm pretty sure it's this. So thank you for that. You're all very nice.
I don't read you as being awesome. You're not, like, mouth breather people that are like, actually.
No, everyone's
like, hey, guys, this thing, or you just so you know, this thing. And I love the way you all correct us.
Yeah,
so.
I think people know by now that we're not the Star Wars nerds. We just really like Star Wars.
We're just super fans. We're not like Alex and Molly who know everything.
Yeah, that's why I always go to Alex whenever I have, like, a question. I'm just like, oh, hey, shit, buddy. Did Alex make a video on this? Because he knows that shit inside and out.
What's funny is I always think something, and the next day, Alex has a video out, like, why is blood? I'm like, I was just thinking that. Thank you.
So, thank you for doing that. But yeah, I mean, like, if there's anything that we've missed in all of these episodes, please let us know. But I still am scratching my head as to why Omega, and we know that she's a big part of it. We just don't know why.
Yeah, there's a few things. So we could be talking about two different parts of this program. Like, Omega might have nothing to do with the Death Trooper program. They might just want her back because she might have something to do with the Snoke clone, Grogu, that whole cloning process. And I know we're separated in the timeline, but they seem to be, like, marrying that whole entire, like, how did we end up with Snoke type of situation. That's where this all seems to be headed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really like the memes. There was a meme where it was like, people who are casual fans of The Mandalorian that realize, that everything's tying into the Rebels, or everything's tying into Clone Wars. And I was just like, yeah, that is exactly what it is. It's just like a sad Pablo Pascal, like, on the window, just like, it's so good because, like, yeah, casual, like, fans who, like, started watching Mando or maybe watched a little bit of Bad Batch. They're missing out on a lot of the connections. They're missing in a lot of the connecting points from other shows that kind of, like, are all kind of culminating to this point of explaining the mess up that was the last trilogy. I feel like there's a lot of, and again, we've talked about this many, many times, is that they're using a lot of the media, the shows and the books and the comics. They're using all of this to, I feel like, fixing the timeline. They're kind of like, they're trying to correct the direction that they went to by filling in all the gaps to make it all feel cohesive and make sense, so that you have a beautiful story from episode one all the way to episode nine. You can watch everything in between, and it's just like, oh, this was a beautiful story told. And so, like, I think we're missing a lot of parts still. And so, like, this is between Mando, between Bad Batch, and probably a little bit of Ahsoka, we're probably going to get a lot of answers.
I think George had a larger story to tell.
Oh yeah.
And just never had the resources. I don't want to say the resources, because he had the resources, but I just don't think he had I don't want to say the time either. I just don't think he told the whole story.
I think it was a technological disadvantage for Lucas. And you see it too with, like, Dune. You know, look how they've gone back and they've remade Dune again, because now they have the technology in a way to show it in its full you know, full glory. You know, I mean, like, it's not just, it's not Star Wars in the sense of like, you've got like all these, like, you know, you got the Empire, you got the Rebels. Like, it is like, it's like the game of Risk at that point with Dune. And so they didn't have the technology back in the 80s to really truly bring that story to life. And I feel like Lucas was kind of caught up in the same way. Like, he was always pushing the limits. Like, look at the one TikTok that we found where it was like, I feel like the longest time everyone thought the panning shot of the pod racing scene when they open up on Tatooine is CGI, but it's it's actual practical effects. It's like Q-tips that have been painted and they actually look like people and stuff. Like little things like that, where I'm sure it was like, it made more sense in the time for them to do practical because that's all that they had. Even like today in The Mandalorian, when all the Mandalorians were fighting on the beach, I don't think those were all real people. I'm pretty sure there was a handful of them that were CGI. I really, really think that a lot of that was made in Unreal. And they had actual characters. They're real people. But on top of that, all of the extras, I don't think they brought extras in. I think they CGI'd them in. I think that was all VFX.
You know, John loves to use Unreal and most all definitely. That anyway,
well, so. I mean, look at it now, especially the latest updates to Unreal. Like, you can't, like, it's very, very hard to tell what's real and what's not. In
so with all of that said, I think that probably a lot of this knowledge was passed down to Dave because Dave
worked. Oh, most definitely.
So I'm not going to knock George on this one. I knock George all the time, but I'm not going to knock him on this one. I just don't think there was the space to tell the story at the time. So I'm going to say, like, things like he probably had the plan to tell us, like, this is the clone army started. This is how we got to the stormtroopers, you know, today. Mm-hmm. And Dave probably possessed that knowledge. And now Dave has formed a story around it. Mm-hmm. Because it's very important to the story. Like, how disconnected did that feel 3 years ago? And we're like, well, how the hell did we get from that to that?
Yep.
You know, like, how do we get from clone troopers to Finn talking about being stolen as a child and all that? So it's just nice to fill in the blanks with stuff like this. And it's fun. You ever see the meme with the girl in the club? She's got the drink and the guy's like yelling in her ear.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
And I've seen the one that just says me watching Star Wars with anyone. that's us. So yeah, but when I tell that, you know, I sit down with my wife and I watch Mandalorian or Hunter watches Bad Batch, he asks a ton of questions or she wants to know stuff. So it's nice to have the knowledge and fill in the blank. And then you get the, that makes sense, like that. So, cause she was, when Bo walked in last week, she was like, why is everyone staying opposite? First of all, that guy's family, the Vizslas, hate her guts.
Are we talking about Mando now? We're just going to go right into
Mando?
No,
I'm just saying in general with Star Wars. Yeah, I was like, that guy's family hates her guts.
Right, exactly. But now they're
Yeah, so they recognize each other immediately. He gives the Casa comment, and it made it a little bit more interesting for her. She said, knowing that the dynamic was there between the Vizslas and Clan Kreese. So, so we're seeing the blanks filled in with Bad Batch. And again, I feel like this is the Bad Batch is literally for, like, I don't want to say super fans, but the fan fans, the ones who've watched everything.
Agreed. Yeah, this is definitely for the people who love Clone Wars, who love Rebels, and, like, you want that, like, the filler. Because I think you could still live a very happy Star Wars fan life without ever watching an episode of Bad Batch. And you'd be fine. Like, you would be okay. Like, it really does just fill in the very, very niche holes that we kind of, like, have found ourselves in, where it's like the people who really want to know, like, that the intricate details of the Star Wars universe.
So secondary to that, I will say this, and this is where we go from here with Bad Batch. The next episode is called The Summit. After that's Plan 99.
So The Summit is going to be what Hemlock and Tarkin were talking about. So this is going to be a meeting between the two just evil mofos that are running the show.
I think it's going to be more. I think we might see Palps and Vader in that.
We could see all of the Moffs that are already, like, in power. We could have Grand Admirals. I mean, like, this could be the next planning stage for, like, what they want to do.
I think he's going to introduce the Death Trooper program to them. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to explain, like, these.
Could you imagine? I would elite. Be, because we've been talking about this for two seasons. I would freak, Kevin.
I think this is it. And then the Bad Batch is going to go to whatever the planet's called. I always forget the name of it, where his laboratory is. And they're going to encounter their undead friend.
Do you think Crosshair is going to be dead?
I think he's going to be a Death Trooper by the end of all this. I don't think he's escaping. I think they're going to gut punch us hard.
Like, I love that, and I hate it too, because, you know, like, they're all hopeful. You know, like even like Hunt, like they were like, oh, you mean he like, so he turned on the Empire? But like they turned on the Empire, and he, and then like Hunter's like, eh, it could be a trap. So he's like half, like I feel like Omega and like Wrecker, like they're very much so on like team like Crosshair's coming back, and then Tech's kind of like, I don't know. And then Hunter's like, no, this guy's trying to backstab us. So you're going to have like within the group, you're going to have these moments where they're kind of like fighting on the decision of like, do we save him or do we just let him rot? And so I think it's going to come to a point where like Omega like begs and pleads and cries like, he's our brother. Come on, Hunter.
He's our brother. Come on, Hunter.
Well, we'll see you next week because that's how long we got to wait.
I'm excited, but
two more episodes of Bad Batch. And then you get 2 weeks of Mando. Trooper,
I'm just like, we did it, Kevin. We have been riding this train for 2 seasons, and we've been saying Death Troopers since like episode whenever Crosshair changed and like was leading up that group. So it was like episode like what? Like 4?
Yeah, it was
something
very
like
early
that.
On.
It's been early. So it's like we've been on this, like it's Death Troopers, it's Death Troopers, it's Death Troopers for a while. God, I hope it is. I'm gonna feel so silly if it's not.
So, moving along, Jedi Survivor dropped the story trailer on Tuesday or Monday. I can't remember. Oh Monday, God. I think.
It was Monday in the middle of my stream.
Yeah, no, I saw that. And then I went to your stream to watch your chat go ballistic on you.
I was like, I'm gonna
lots of interesting information. So the biggest thing that the whole internet took away from this is that Meryn is in street clothes, essentially.
So... So you learn more about Meryn, it seems like, in the book. So we talked about this last week, that if you want to know like everything that happens in between the game one and
five years.
It's 5 years in between game one and game two. A lot has happened. And book two picks up, or the book picks up 2 years after the first game. So there's been a little bit of development and whatnot. I really like, so far, Meryn's relationship with Kel is really fun. I really like that, and I'm very excited to see where that goes. But yeah, it's gonna be like, I feel like the book is actually gonna be like, from a storytelling perspective, I think you're really gonna want to read this book before you get into Survivor.
And you said that plays into the new co-op situation you were talking about?
So in the trailer, this is the biggest thing that I grabbed from it, is that there is a like a buddy system, it seems like, that you can call in like Meryn to do an attack. So it seems like you'll be able to, a lot like Guardians of the Galaxy, where you can like build up. I think we talked about this. We even said like a Guardians of the Galaxy style Star Wars game would be sick. Well, I mean, you're kind of getting it in the sense of like, you'll probably get to build up different buddies and like level them up and, you know, upgrade them and things like that. But there's Kel was fighting, and all of a sudden Meryn comes in and she like does her thing and then bops out. But in the book, they talk a lot about her Dathomirian experiences and like her dark magic and stuff that she uses. They talk about her ability to essentially disappear, and they like really explain it in a really cool way. They talked about how like, when your body doesn't exist anymore, your brain doesn't have like the senses from all of your different feelings and like your skin and everything else. You're not getting that. And she's like, it feels like you don't even exist anymore. And she talks about like how it just all of like, just like the experiences that she goes through. And I thought that was really cool, because it helped bring Meryn to life for me, because you really don't get to experience her all that much in the first game. She kind of shows up at the end. You kind of like have this like power struggle with her, and then she's your best friend. So like, it kind of just, It you really don't get to like hang out with her all that much. And then his master, is her name Seer?
Yeah.
She like, so you know shit's going on with her. We know that when we pick up in the game, she's like, her hair's gone. She looks like more of like a Diablo monk. She's got like tattoos on her face and all that stuff. So her character has evolved.
That's how she looks in real life, by the way.
Yeah, no, she looks like a freaking badass. The thing, what I find really interesting, is they talk about how she is in the book when you pick up, and they talk about how like she's beat up and she's tired. She's like, she's just had enough. And so it'll be really, this is just like the first two chapters. And so I'm excited to see like how she progresses to a point where she becomes essentially like a sage, it looks like, when you find her in the game. So that'll be fun.
We know we're going to Coruscant. We confirmed that in the trailer, which
looks
is
so good.
Yep. So I'm wondering if they use leftover assets from 1313 to build Coruscant for Respawn. No? You don't think we're going to go to the underbelly of Coruscant?
I don't know how they would have been able to get assets from 1313.
EA.
Respawn was... EA wasn't the one making 1313.
EA was the publisher on it.
Yeah, but it wasn't Respawn's game.
Yeah, but they can share assets.
Blizzard in the same graphics engine.
Blizzard did that with Bungie. That's true. I didn't think about that. We learned that the hard way in 2021 when trying to build a virtual event. Could you drop? Nope, can't do it. Damn it.
Sorry. Yeah, so the, I mean, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see like how far into Coruscant we go. I wonder if it's going to be like, do you go to the Jedi Temple? Do you go to the underground? Like, do you go to like where Sid's at? You know, like, is this going to tie in at all to the shows? Like, it's the right time period too.
I want to go to the temple. You go there. So the Jedi Temple gets destroyed in SWTOR 2. It's a conspiracy. I don't even want to get into it. Anyway, it ends up getting destroyed, and you go to the ruins of the Jedi Temple, and is one of the dungeons in the game. And that was fun, getting to see like the place where you convened previously is now like this destroyed thing. I would love to see the ruins of the Jedi Temple again. I know we've done it a few times now, but I really want to see Cal like go through it.
When was the last time we did that?
Didn't Obi-Wan go there back there?
No. I mean, like, when was the last time that we in a video game got to experience Jedi Temple? A long time. So like, it would make sense. Think about the Venatar.
It's not in Battlefront, is it?
I don't think so. No, it's definitely not in Battlefront. Think about in Fallen Order when you go to the Venatar and you are like in it, like you're finding all of like, you're just going through it, all the different memories. That was fun. Like, that is a ship. That is an iconic ship from Clone Wars. And you got to explore it. You got to go into the underbelly. You got to go into engineering. You got to go through this ship that you've always seen. You've never got to really experience. It would make a lot of sense for Cal Kestis to go back to the Jedi Temple in the disguise of whatever to, you know, either learn more about the Jedi Order, try to find more survivors, like all of these things. In my opinion, that would be the main POI for a Coruscant visit. I don't really feel like it would make sense for them to do like a bunch of like underbelly missions or going like deep down and like where Ahsoka goes down to like the big like transport tube where like everyone, like all the different like ships can go down to all the different levels and they dock. Like, I think that would be like cool. That'd be neat. But I think like your end goal for going to Coruscant would most definitely be the Jedi Temple. I don't know of any other reason why he would go there.
Plays into the story too.
Most definitely.
Everything that we've experienced. So that would be my guess too. You know, and then we had the reverse where we got to go to the Fortress Inquisitorius and then we got to see it in Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love the crossover stuff. It's my favorite. We also see him hugging Grease, the pilot, in one scene. So I have a feeling either someone's going to die or something.
Oh, someone's definitely going to die. Most definitely. We saw more Zepho puzzles. So we know Zephos are going to continue to be a part of the story. I think it's going to be just like last game where Zephos will be a side piece to the main story, but it still won't be the main focus, unfortunately, unless it just gets wrapped up at the end. But I think the Zephos will come full circle in the third game. I think after we get over whatever this next thing is, we introduce, like, I want you to tell me who's in the fucking tube, Kevin. I want to know who's in the tube. But I think once we get through that, because that was a main piece, that has been a main marketing point since the beginning. They did it at the Game Awards show. That was like the first thing they showed off in the first gameplay trailer. Everything has been focused around this until this trailer. The man in the tube, unless I missed it, that didn't show up at all. So I'm really, really curious to see like what that does to the overall Star Wars story, this introduction or reintroduction of a character. And then how did the Zephos get all wrapped up into this? Because I swear the big long neck weapon is most definitely a Zepho machine of some sort. It makes sense.
So I think the Zephos were supposed to be the D&D Benioff and Weiss movie that got canned when season 8 of Game of Thrones was terrible.
Oh, did you think they were going to try to wrap it all together with that?
Well, their movie was supposed to be about the origins of the Jedi and Force users and the Sith and stuff.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that movie is supposed to be about Zepho. Because that movie didn't happen, we lost context on other projects. That was probably already written into the lore and agreed upon by Lucasfilm. And then all of a sudden we're like, hey.
That makes sense.
Yikes. So that's probably why we don't have a ton of information. But we will get more. We do see the two bounty hunters we saw in the other trailer. So I think they're probably going to be main characters in it. One of them we think might be the Gendai Dirge from the old Tartakovsky Clone Wars cartoon from the old one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Alex did a video on that actually too. But yeah, there's a potential for either it's the same race, Gendai, or it's the same character, Dirge. It doesn't look like Dirge looks in the comics, which would be my reasoning for saying no on that. Mm-hmm. But the potential is always there for slight changes. Now for the good part, Tim.
Please tell me. The love of God, tell me.
This comes from thegamer.com, but it was all over on Monday. The new Star Wars Jedi Survivor story trailer has confirmed one popular fan theory about the new Jedi character who we first saw waking up from the back to tank. Hold on, let me move this over so I can see Tim's
okay,
face.
Okay, hold on. First, where pause. In that trailer did it show off that? What did I miss?
They're narrating the whole beginning of the trailer, and you don't... They're the one holding the yellow... They're the one holding the yellow lightsaber.
Okay, all right. Well, that explains a lot. Yeah, go for it.
Who we first saw waking up from the back to tank stasis in the game's reveal teaser. The hero belongs to the long-gone High Republic era, a period of peace and prosperity hundreds of years before the Empire. Star Wars fans were suspecting this mysterious Jedi could have stayed in the stasis pod for quite some time, unaware of what was happening around him. The speculation grew stronger after the game's second trailer dropped in January, where the strange figure talked about his betrayal and can be seen wearing an elegant golden Jedi robe. Jedi Survivor's last trailer features a more detailed look at the clothes, where a clear emblem of the High Republic can be seen, as pointed out by the Redditor Nora the Explorer. And it's circled on this article, which I will send you right now. So the whole thing
tie-in with the High Republic in this game. Shut up.
So the whole thing. Well, it goes even deeper. The era of the Star Wars universe has been explored only in books and comics so far. This era, however, upcoming animated series Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures, currently scheduled to air on May 4th, will offer more information about the intriguing setting of the High Republic.
No.
Aside from his robe, a more direct hint of his origins came from the character's quote, "How could you let the galaxy fall to this unworthy machine of an empire?" Clearly, he's not happy to wake up in a completely different landscape of the galaxy and is blaming Cal Kestis and the wider Jedi Order for their fall. That's the meat of it. You can read it at thegamer.com.
I wonder if this is going to reintroduce a character that we've already met.
So if you look at the lightsaber, it is a crosssaber, like much like Kylo Ren's.
No,
the Claymore version.
Yeah, but okay, so that explains why the Claymore gets introduced. Oh, because they had the Claymores in higher. Oh, dude.
So so he's wearing I should say. We have no idea who this person is. So I'm going to say
not,
they.
It's not Loden. He had a yellow lightsaber, but he's Twi'lek.
It could
that
be,
doesn't work.
What's his face died? The other Jedi with the God, I remember. Forget their names now because it's been this is what happens when you
maybe
try and tell
is, so this might just be an introduction of a new character and then what could happen, Kevin, is that if we go back to the High Republic with who's Crow, inevitable, who's this guy, we haven't seen him in a bit, High Republic character, when we go back to that time with the what's his name, Kevin?
Elzar Man.
Elzar's no, the bad guy.
Died.
Bad guy.
Oh, Markion.
If we go back to the end where we left Markion Rowe on the Gaze Electric with the robots, if we go back to that part of the High Republic, we could then get answers on the background to that guy.
Yeah, I was thinking it might be...
So that's hundreds of... That's like, what, 200 years before episode one, right? Ish.
Yeah, ish.
Maybe a little bit more than that. So I wonder if this is going to be an acolyte character.
Oh, could be. Yeah, that's a good theory. Yeah, I don't think it's someone we know already.
No, I don't think it's someone we know, and it probably couldn't be someone from the time periods that we've already covered. Because Bacta, at the point that we pick up with the High Republic, they're just learning about Bacta. They're just starting to farm it and use it for healing. This guy's in a Bacta tank. How long has he been in that Bacta tank for? We don't know, but it's definitely after the point at which it's after the great cataclysm, when the meteorite hits the planet. It's definitely after that point. So for it to be an acolyte, for him to be introduced an acolyte would make a lot of sense, because that's only 100 years. It's leading right up to that point. He could be introduced then.
It's a new, I guarantee it's a new character, but I would say your theory on acolyte could match up pretty nicely. So the question would be, why is he in stasis? Maybe right. that story is told in acolyte.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question would be, who put him in stasis, and how did he get it? Like, I have a million questions about this, and we're not obviously going to answer them today, but this opens up such a can of worms,
mm-hmm.
because this means that if stasis works this long, there could be Jedi frozen and Sith frozen all over the
galaxy. Well, we know that there are
galaxy.
Some Jedi frozen, because when Obi-Wan went
Fortress
to the,
Inquisitorius.
When he went to the Fortress Inquisitorius, he saw those Jedi that were frozen in that amber. So
we don't know if those were trophies or they were.
We don't know if they're alive or if they're dead, but we don't know how stasis works really in Star Wars. Like, we've never really run into anyone who's been frozen in time.
We might be learning very soon.
Holy shit, Kevin. That's so interesting. And I kind of like that it's not Starkiller. It's not Vader's apprentice. I really like that they're kind of doing something different, because it feels more natural. Like, okay, it would have been like, definitely from the gamer's perspective, I think people would have freaked out. But I think from the overall like Star Wars fan experience, to continue to have this cohesion and callbacks to stuff that you're already experiencing makes everything feel more connected. It just makes you feel more in it, and just kind of just you're just in everything, because you just like everything starts to make sense. You're kind of scratching your head going like, well, who the hell is this guy? Because I feel like a lot of new Star Wars fans be like, well, who the fuck's this guy? Why is it so important? But it's really cool to like have everyone being like, oh, this is so cool, instead of everyone like, it's Starkiller. Like, it just feels more monumental, I guess. I think that's I'm a lot more excited for this character now than I was before.
So we will see. We have about a little over a month. I am most likely, I know I don't stream that much anymore, but I will probably be streaming this nights to keep pace, to try and keep as close pace with Tim as I possibly can.
You have
can,
to.
So.
There's no way in hell that I'm stopping, Kevin.
I can't do couch gaming for this one, because then, like, you know, like I'm like Tim, like, oh, I'm 30 hours into, you know, this game, and then Tim's like, I finished that like 2 years ago.
So Kevin, that was 2 months, and you're still.
The other day, I was like, I started Halo Infinite, and he's like, why?
I was like, that's a trash game. Move on. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, just wait.
So I've been rebuilding my streaming setup at home. I need some electrical work done, but it's functional. I'm moving it, by the way, Tim, to the other wall, so I can use the white wall to like put shit on.
Nice.
So I'm going to put a junction box on the cinder block wall. So I can stream it regardless. So I will most likely be streaming this probably 3, 4, 5 nights a week. And I already have permission from my wife, Star Wars.
Yeah,
so
that's very important, Danielle.
Yeah, she understands. So, and plus for the show, I want to be able to talk about it on the show. So most likely I'll be streaming this, not interfering with Tim. Unfortunately, Tim, I will not be able to watch you while you're streaming it, so I'll just keep you on, but
you know,
muted in the corner.
You know what's wild though is that the first time when I did Fallen Order, all I remember a big portion of the beginning of the game going, Kevin! 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 Someone get Kevin!
You watched me. You came in my stream during the Vader reveal.
Mm-hmm. Because I had just beaten the game, and I ended my stream, and I was like, oh, Kevin's streaming. And I went over to see where you were at, and I had just finished it. And so I was just like, I have to watch this.
To this day, I think that was probably one of my top 5 stream reactions captured on. I have the video of it. I just went, because I heard him. And I was like,
you knew it was coming, dude. You knew it was coming. That whole so last excited. Part of that game was phenomenal.
Masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they have in store for us this time, a little over a month away. But this excited me. And I don't even know if they have anything left to show it.
That's okay. All right.
Except
so
gameplay.
Before we head on to our commercial break, the Star Wars Celebration is brought to you by Jedi Survivor. Okay. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that Jedi Survivor is the main sponsor for Star Wars Celebration. And so I would assume that we are going to get way more information dropped on us. And I think that is, I think this is a huge reason why they pushed everything back, because we were supposed to be getting this game now. The game's been done for a bit. Now they're just polishing everything. And you allow people to just salivate even more. And so I think, honestly, Kevin, I think we're going to get way more dropped on us at Celebration.
I hope they do the more theatrical version like they did in 2019 and have like the stasis pod and like,
yeah, that was,
remember they brought out the purge troopers.
Yep. It was really, really good. Yeah. Vince was on stage. It was fantastic.
I want that. I want that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to put the stasis pod right there.
I love it. Do it, please.
I'm gonna make it happen.
All right, cool. Commercial break. We'll be right back. Mandalorian. I can't believe we have more to talk about.
I know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back, and I have another bombshell for Tim, but we're going to save it because he didn't put two and two together on this episode, so we will talk about it. So let's talk about the Mandalorians first. So yeah. We get to see, this is the beginning of Grogu's training, essentially,
yeah, that was
become
adorable.
A Mandalorian. It was adorable, but he kicked that Ragnar kid's ass.
I love that his name was Ragnar.
Ragnar Vizsla, what a strong name. But yeah, now we know like that there is an heir to the Vizsla house
as
well.
How do Mandalorians make children if they can't take their armor off?
You can leave. You don't need that part to. You can't take your helmet off.
Oh man, that's kind of hot. Just not gonna dunk, lie.
Dunk, dunk, dunk. Just Beskar dink, hitting Beskar.
Dink, dink.
So yeah, that's
these
that's
are the things that I think about. How do Mandalorians procreate?
I mean, it's a fair assessment on that. I think that's Jon Favreau's real son too, by the way.
Oh my god, that would be so cool. That's actually his kid.
I think just by the way he looks and talks, I was like, is that his kid? Let's look, because he was in the first episode, right?
He was in the first episode, and I thought he was dead. I really thought that bird was gonna eat him.
A raptor, which was
I thought at first was a dragon, because you don't really see it like up close. It kind of just like swoops in, grabs the kid, and then just fucks off. I thought it was a dragon.
My son was like, "That's not a raptor." And I was like, "Well, it's Star Wars. Like, suspend your disbelief for just a moment."
Well, it's
son.
A bird of prey, so then therefore by definition, it's a raptor. So he's thinking from a dinosaur. He's thinking like, "That's not a velociraptor."
Carl Weathers also directed this episode.
I forgot he made a tweet about that this was his episode. He did a good job.
He did a very good
job. It was well
done.
I thought all of the action scenes were really fun. I liked the Mandalorian chase, like with the jetpacks as they were like flying. They're like, oh, my, I'm out of fuel. Like, that was fun. Like, that was really enjoyable. Watching Bo just kind of like haul ass with her ship. I love her ship. It has become one of my favorite, outside of the Fondor, I really, really like her ship. It is just really cool. And it's like every time I see like her ship or I see the Fondor or even like with the the Starfighter, the Naboo N1 Starfighter that Mando flies. That's just like a muscle car in space. Like that makes me want a Star Wars Star Citizen so badly. I just want to just collect ships and fly them.
It is not Jon Favreau's son. I just confirmed it is not. Oh. It is the child of an actress and a writer, producer, director, but it is not.
Oh, that's so cool. Good for him. Good job, kid.
So we see the beginning of Grogu's training. Side mission, like you said, they have to kind of go off. And again, it is a side mission. If we go by the video game formula that they seem to be following, it works in it. You know, Bo is going to earn the respect by saving what we find out halfway through the episode is Paz Vizsla's kid. Uh-huh. Which again, I find that to be more significant than people probably think, is that there is another Vizsla on the horizon. So what's Clan Kreese doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if the Mandalorians are going to rebuild, that means we got 20 years until the First Order takes, you know, till we get to episode 7, mm-hmm. Where are the Mandalorians in all of this and who's exactly. running the show. Mm-hmm. So, very interesting on that front. Beginning of Grogu's training, which was adorable, and then he got his little new piece of armor.
He's got a little chest plate, which was really cute. Like, I thought he was going to get a shield. I thought he was going to have this little shield, but it just sits right there. It's cute.
aside from all of the Mandalorians working together, you know, the Harmony, Bo kind of adopting the Creed again, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on that. I thought it was really too. Yeah, I'm very torn on how she is so quickly to accept the way when she was so very much against the Zealots last season.
So she might just be respecting them at the moment.
Maybe.
Just to because she knows, she saw the Mythosaur. She talks about it with the armor at the end. The armor's like, yeah, that's a vision. Cute. This is the way. So she might just be respecting them instead of trying to disrespect them and realizing that to unite Mandalorians, she really needs to probably respect the different ways.
Agreed.
Because at the end of all of this, I really can't see her not ending up as Mandalore the Great.
I think it also showcases that she understands her sister's fails. Like, she understands that her sister tried to go so far into the pacifist realm and not acknowledge the history and the traditions of the Mandalorian people, which caused a fissure. Now, from a progressive standpoint, totally understand. I get why she did what she did. But Satine was so hellbent on being a pacifist that she got herself killed for it. Yep. And so I think Bo understands that there is a balance between acknowledging and keeping the old ways and also living by a new, I guess, creed or a new way of being Mandalorian. And I think that's going to be Bo-Katan's purpose in all of this. Is I think she will end up being Mandalore. I think she will reunite the houses. This is going to be a Game of Thrones. Like, again, I keep on saying this. This is going to be a Game of Thrones style 100%. Storytelling where she is the main point in all of this. And I think it's going to be a beautiful story because it's going to be like she failed, she fell, she lost everything, and then she gets to build herself back up. And I love that for Katie Sackhoff because it's just a great way to continue building Bo-Katan's character.
Yeah, and you know, even Paz is respecting her by creed and culture when he was like, "You're the leader of this expedition, whatever they called it. You can eat."
The hunting
fire.
Party. He could have been a dickhead, and he could have been a dickhead and been like, "No, go over there. I don't like you." You know, and she probably would have done it too. She probably would have just accepted it as that's the way. She doesn't know. But for him to give her that acknowledgement and that level of honor of being like, "No, you get to sit by the fire," and I thought that was sick.
She's the one that tracked it down and found his son when their jetpacks ran out of fuel. And
I think that was also probably a nod to like, "Hey, like I owe you one." Like, like honestly, like he probably owes her a debt, or Mando, he owes somebody something.
So we'll see how that progresses. I can't wait to see them riding those three full grown raptors.
Oh, the little
in a later
baby
episode.
Raptors are so cute. She's like, "We found foundlings." I was like, "They probably found more kids that were like still kind of alive." And then the baby raptors come out and they're like 8 feet tall.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
They're definitely, they will be riding those at some point.
Most definitely. This is going to be awesome. When they do the drop ship part, you know, the one scene from the trailer where it's the Mandalorians dropping from the ship, you're going to see guys riding on these raptors coming in for that. Whatever that fight's going to be, it's going to be sick.
That's the Mandalorian part of the episode. There is not much meat to the bone. It was a good...
It was fun.
Like, precursor to what's happening. It was good story.
Good side quest.
The thing that was poignant was Grogu's PTSD returned.
Huge.
Huge. So it takes us back to Order 66, and it takes us back to the moment he was taken from the Jedi Temple. Mm-hmm. And the Jedi that are protecting him that we saw in a previous flashback are saying, "Bring him to Kelleran Beck," or "Bring him to Kelleran." They don't say his last name.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
"Bring him to Kelleran." You got to watch with closed captioning.
I got to put
the only way.
I should have put it on. Kyler kept on going like, "Who's that? Who's that?" And I was like, "Shh."
First time around, I always watch with closed captioning just so I can see place names, people.
I usually do that. I forgot to do it this time.
So they're yelling, "Bring him to Kelleran."
Kelleran.
So that, no, don't look it up. Don't look it up. Okay. I want your genuine reaction here. So Kelleran, as it turns out, is played by Ahmed Best.
Who played Jar Jar Binks.
Who played Jar Jar Binks. Kelleran is the host of Star Wars Jedi Temple Challenge,
which is our
Legends of the Hidden Temple. It is that character, Tim. It is that character. It is not just, it is him. It is the same character. So they literally tied the freaking game show into the story.
That's
cool. Right?
Okay. So do we have to go watch this game show now?
That's my immediate reaction. I was like, I got to go home and watch this with Hunter now. Because,
because
and you know how many people they're probably watching the uptick on Disney Plus of Jedi Temple Challenge right now? Like, ooh, you all watch that show. Because at first I was like,
I thought they canceled it.
It says 2020 dash on IMDb, which usually means the show's not canceled. So I don't know. I remember seeing it was canceled too. So I don't know what's happening here. Anyway, so I immediately said to myself, okay, maybe they're just throwing him a bone because just like he was Jar Jar and then the show got canceled.
And they made him like hate himself for doing that. Like the Star Wars fandom with Jar Jar and him was terrible.
I was like, okay, maybe this is like a new character. But then I went and looked up the credits on Jedi Temple Challenge and it's the same Jedi's name. I was like, oh my God, they're tying the two shows together. And I went, this is his redemption. Anakin and Hayden got his. This is Ahmed Best has now taken probably the most important character in the modern era of Star Wars, aside from Luke freaking Skywalker. I say that with reservations. There's others, but you know what I'm saying. And has saved him from the Jedi Temple. If that's not a redemption arc for that actor.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. He gets to actually have like a really cool character now.
And were those Naboo soldiers
helping him? Yes, they were. And that was the
Naboo ship, right?
That was Padme. That was the same ship.
Is that Padme's ship? I don't know.
It's the same class. It is the same ship that you see in episode 2 when Padme and Anakin are flying around. They're going to Tatooine and like all that shit. It's the same ship. Those were Naboo guards. He knows those guards. They knew each other. So there is a tie-in. There's a tie-in with Naboo and him. And I don't know what it is.
What makes this child so important? That Jedi are willing to die for him. And then those Naboo soldiers were like, go, take him. We're dead. Like, there's
shock troopers showed up. That was some heavy artillery. I mean, that clone, the entire chase scene was awesome too. The clone troop, a transporter that was going through the freaking tunnel and got hit by a train. All of that was amazing. It was fantastic. And you're right. It definitely continues to build up the importance of Grogu because of how intense that entire scene was.
Why are the clones chasing him? Why are the Jedi sacrificing themselves to get out? That was not like a normal, like, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the betterment of man. That was like, we need to protect this child and get him out of here.
But why do the Naboo guards know that? Like, that's the part that threw me off even more.
Why do the Naboo guards know that? Why is it Kelleran? They're not just saying, get him out of here. They're bring him to
also,
Kelleran.
Can we talk about his robes?
Freaking awesome with the inlays. They look like High Republic robes.
That's what I thought too, Kevin. I thought the exact same thing. It looked way too ornate for a normal Jedi. I can't think of a time in the cinematic universe where we have seen Jedi with gold inlaid designs on the palettes of their robes and stuff. Like he looked really fancy. He looked like he was of like a higher order. I don't know what it was, but there's something very, very special about him. He also dual wields like Ahsoka does. Seeing like the green and blue at the same time, fantastic. I love that. So his fighting style is really unique. I want to know more about this guy. And also I want to know, why does he take him out why does he leave him there? What happened to him? Where is he now? Is he dead?
Is not the last time we're going to see
Ahmed Best. No, there's no way in hell. These flashbacks are going to get more intense. They're going to ramp up just like they did for Adin in season 1. It's going to get more and more, and then we're going to get to the end of the season, and we're going to get the full picture. At the end of this, I guarantee you, we're going to get all of the flashbacks that we got in season 1, all of the flashbacks in season 2, and it's just going to be one big story. I guarantee you, it'll be an episode that is all about Grogu, and it is just the Clone Wars. They're like Din probably won't even show. He'll be there for the beginning, and then he's gonna go into like a trance or something, and it's gonna be the entire story at the end.
So, yeah, we're gonna see more of him. I noticed too, like it's always trauma that brings back. Like Obi-Wan experienced the same thing, and his flashbacks would come up, you know, in reference to his trauma. Grogu, same thing, and Grogu's so little. That's the sad part. I know he's 50, but like he's a baby in his mind. So it's really upsetting, you know, that he had to live through that and whatnot. But my God, the implications of what that puts on us. Again, so many people are not going to know who that is.
Nope.
But once you find out, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, this is his redemption. But now, even more important, he gets to play as an actor again. We said this with Hayden, how happy we were when he walked out on Celebration. He got the standing ovation and he's like, I want to be back. I want to do it again. I want to be a part of this, which leads us all to believe like we're probably going to see him in Ahsoka, even if it's just a flashback to Malachor. Now Ahmed Best gets to do the same thing. Like he gets to be a new character, reinvent himself in the Star Wars universe.
Could you imagine though, if it was,
and we're all on the sidelines, like you go, boy, you go, you reinvent yourself. You be that character. You save the baby. Like you go, this is great. It's great. I feel so good.
But how elated and pissed off do you think the Star Wars fandom would have been if it was Jar Jar Binks that saved him?
Misa, get your safety!
And the entire time he's just making accidents. He drops Grogu, and Grogu hits a clone, and then he picks him back up.
If we're going back to Naboo, Delorean meets Jar Jar.
Senator Binks, I brought you this youngling.
Yusa brought me a baby,
but he's doing both.
He's going back and forth.
Oh my god, John, Dave, please. Dude, that would be hysterical.
As much as I hate Jar Jar Binks, I really want him to be Grogu's babysitter.
Just two minutes.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious.
That would bring the whole thing just full circle. That would be one of the greatest moments in the history of Star Wars, given the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I felt like they had the side quest episode planned and they were like, what if we drop another flashback in here?
Because they know people don't like side quests as much. Okay, all right. So here is my frustration is that I liked the Grogu part of this episode way more than the Mandalorian side quest.
I mean, everyone's going to say that. That's
just
that's
like last week's episode. I enjoyed the Dr. Pershing section more than I enjoyed the Mandalorian part. It's odd to me that I find all of the other information far more exciting, but like Mando in his current state doesn't have a lot to offer. Like he's kind of just like, he's just doing his thing. So there's not a lot of story development in that standpoint. So I'm really glad that they're using this opportunity to really fill in the blanks. And I've been finding that really fun and entertaining for me. But then I go and look at comment sections. Like I wrote last week, I said that this was by far, it was a masterpiece of an episode. I really, really enjoyed it. And then people were leaving comments and saying, like, they were dissecting, like, well, the fucking lollipops were glowing. I was like, it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Like, what? Why wouldn't they be, like, illuminated in some sort of bioluminescent lollipops? Like, why not? Like, all of that stuff, like, people were, like, nitpicking at the smallest of things, and it didn't make any sense. And it felt like the fandom isn't excited unless shit's blowing up and lightsabers are being waved around. And it's just like, man, you're missing out on so many details and a great story being laid out in front of you. And all you can think about is just like, well, this is boring because they're not shooting each other. Like, it's just like, I don't know. That's kind of frustrating that some Star Wars fans have come to this expectation that if it's not in the vein of a Star Wars movie, then it, or like a Rebels episode, then it's not worth their time.
Yeah. Again, I understand that not every episode can have lore bomb drops, because then it'll dilute the content.
Oh, sure.
So I'm fine with it. But mixing and matching like they did in this episode and they did in the last episode,
It's perfect. It's a great cadence because you don't have these weird, like you did in season two, where it was like filler, filler. Oh, that's really good. Filler, filler, filler. Like it's a filler with then a drop in it as well. And it's kind of like, it's just woven together where it's just this nice cadence. I really like breaking up the story. It feels like Last of Us Part Two, where you do a little bit Abby, and then you go back and then you're checking out what happened with Joel and Ellie, and then you play Ellie for a little bit. And it's just like, it feels good. It just like, I really like this cadence of being able to follow along with two, essentially two different stories at the same time, and they're all interconnected. Look at Grogu's chase scene. We ended up right back in the city center place where the peak of the highest mountain, Coruscant, was right there. We were literally there last week with Dr. Pershing, but we got to see it from a different angle at a different time. Like, that was really cool, and it's just like they're doing a really good job of just weaving it all together now. It doesn't feel as jarring as it did in the last two seasons. Like, it just, it feels really, really good.
Also, that like World's Fair-esque place where they went is taken directly from Ralph McQuarrie's original drawings of Coruscant before it was even called Coruscant.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw a comparison to it. It's in that book I have on my desk.
And it did have a very like Chicago World's Fair kind of vibe.
That was the vibe they were going for.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, it's funny because, again, Star Wars loves to do this. It's like, you got the answer you wanted about who got Grogu out of the temple, but now we've introduced you to 10 more questions you have about who, what, where, when, and why.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, what was this, Naboo's involved? Like, this is
I really hope that the people that were upset with last week, I really hope that they saw that and it kind of like re-energized them and hooked them in, because there's just so much.
You understand the ramifications of Naboo being involved in this, because at that moment where we're left off in the flashback, Padme is still technically alive, because Anakin is still on Coruscant.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Anakin was Anakin was there at the temple at the exact same time. He's in the temple.
What if Anakin is part of his mission is he's looking for him.
Oh, that would explain the younglings. Oh my God, Kevin, that would explain why he slaughtered the younglings. He went looking for Grogu.
What if there's this like outsider Revenge of the Sith? What if Palpatine was like, bring me the child. Like, I'm just saying, calling him the child because that's what we called him. Bring me the child. What if we get a flashback at some point? What if part of Anakin's mission was, yes, burn the Jedi Temple, destroy it, bring the clone troopers, blah, 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 but bring me Grogu.
Holy shit. That would make so much more sense why Anakin went there.
Because even going back to last week if we stick to the Grogu's probably one of the first Force clones to ever work out, if that's the case, and it was taken from Yoda's DNA combined with Palpatine's, there's also this theory now with all of this with Luke's hand. Remember, originally,
I still don't think Grogu's a clone, though.
I'm just throwing it all out of the cloning stuff.
I'm still just kind of like having a hard time.
Luke's hand is potentially being held in the facility where Dr. Hemlock is.
Right.
Which leads to more questions
like, we wouldn't see that. That's after Empire, before Return of the Jedi.
No, I know. But it's still, the hand is there probably. It's not there yet.
The only reason why I bring that up is I wonder when we get to that point of like, I wonder how they kind of loop that all in.
Right. So once they have Luke's hand in the facility, again, it leads to the Snoke thing. Like, oh, well, now we could take Luke's DNA. Because remember, in Legends, Luke has a clone. Yep. So, but yeah, what if Anakin was part of his mission was to retrieve the child? And again, it adds to the importance of him.
Yeah.
And that's why they're like, get him to Kelleron, get him out.
Yeah.
And that's why Naboo is involved. Maybe that's
the big part. Naboo, the introduction of Naboo Royal Guards. Remember, these are the same type of guards that were protecting Padme, that they were fighting with Padme when they were taking over the capital, taking back the capital from the Viceroy. And so, like, we've seen, like, all of this is very familiar. If you've watched episode one or episode two, all of that should be very, very familiar to you. So the introduction of that into this dynamic, it just makes no sense, because I don't know where the Naboo government comes in, other than that they had a job to do with Padme. Like, there was something, Padme's wrapped into this somehow. Then I would assume she has to be.
Well, here's the thing: is Padme was in that little group with Bail and Mon Mothma.
Yeah, she was a part of the original rebels.
Right. So. But we know they're not involved because Bail rolls up to the temple and he's shocked as to what's going on.
Right, exactly.
Unless he's shocked at the attack. Or... What if Bail sees what happens when he's at the temple as he's driving away? And if he knows of this importance of Grogu, messages and starts coordinating to get him out.
That would happen so, that would have to have happened so fast.
I mean, to clear the Jedi Temple is not happening in 5 minutes, Tim. No, you're talking hours.
I agree, but also why would Bail Organa have any connection to the Naboo government?
Because through Padme.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like if, but he's from Alderaan. So, like, I would, like.
Maybe he didn't have the resources of it. Maybe Padme was the one that had the resources but available
Padme,
to make this
but
happen.
But Padme was already.
Unless it's all a ploy by Palpatine, no, who's Padme also was, from Naboo.
Padme was in the apartment. I'm going to have to go back and watch the scene in episode 3, but I think she's in the apartment. Doesn't she see the fire and the smoke coming from the Jedi Temple?
Yes, I believe so.
From her apartment when she's like, she like wakes up and she's, oh shit. What if Padme's wrapped up in this somehow?
I'm watching the scene right now on YouTube. It's in Spanish, but I know what's happening.
Hola.
I don't know how that's what
Almost
I got.
Almost die, Yoda.
We're just because it's Star Wars Latin America YouTube channel. Come on.
Man, I am very, like, the more I think about this, the more questions I have is, but that was a big, that was definitely the biggest question for me is when we got to the landing pad and the Naboo starfighter was sitting there, I thought it was going to be Padme. And then you see all the guards kind of come down on the ramp.
Padme's in her apartment before, like she knows something bad's going to happen. I think she,
because Anakin comes to her and he tells her that there's something that he has to do. He doesn't like, he's got to go slaughter everybody. He comes and sees her. After he becomes Darth Vader, he goes back to Padme. He has this lovey-dovey moment. He says, stay here. There's something I have to do, and then we'll be safe, and blah, 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 blah.
She is in her apartment because C-3PO says Master Anakin has returned to the Jedi Temple, and she sees it on fire, and she's worried about him. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Found it.
Yes. Okay. All right.
She's still there.
Okay. So this is how we wrap episode 3 into The Mandalorian with Grogu. Here we go. This is my expectation of what's going to happen. Padme and that Jedi know each other. And she probably calmed over to him, said, hey, I've got a transport or whatever waiting for you. And she knows that he, like, maybe he's bringing a bunch of younglings. Maybe she knows that something's bad and he has to bring the younglings. But at the same time, I don't know why Grogu is the most important one that they have to get out. That is the part where I have a big question mark. But I think if we connect the dots, I think Padme has control over that ship and the guards, and she calms over to them because, you know, she's still a senator, so she's got a detail. That's her ship. That couldn't be her ship because she took a ship off to Mustafar. So for them to have a couple of those ships would make sense, you know, from Naboo to Coruscant, you're transporting people, you're taking senator, blah, 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 back and forth, the queen. So for them to have a ship on standby would make sense. I think that they're going to wrap that up and they're going to bring Padme into the fold, which would then explain more of like why she's so distraught, because she never actually got to see what was happening at the Jedi Temple. She didn't actually go there. She just knows that something bad happens. And then she finds out that it was Anakin that did it. So I want to go back and watch. Now I want to go back and watch that part of episode 3 and see where are the holes, because Filoni's filling them in. Because this is how you wrap up the Filoniverse. Because the Filoniverse starts in that time period. I mean, it's Clone Wars. So you take, it's the end of Clone Wars, it's the end of season 6. And Filoni loves to do this. He loves to wrap it all together. So I think this is a perfect way, again, for us to get to the end of Clone Wars, see Order 66 from another perspective, which is going to be Padme and Grogu's perspective. And then we get a clean little package all wrapped up in a bow. I'm excited. I love theory crafting with you. This is great. I'm very, very excited for next week. Because I have so many questions.
I have 1,000 questions. Well, yeah, the can of worms is open now on that. So we'll see what the internet says over the course of the week, too.
Watch. All the news will drop after we're done recording.
Like 5 minutes from now. Thank you for listening. If you're at PAX and you see me and Tim on the floor, just come say hi. I'm more than happy to chat Star Wars or something with you for a few. We could theory craft. Tweet us your theories. That's what we'd love for you to do at Star Wars Scotch, at Star Wars Scotch, Twitter, Facebook, all the places. Rate, review, subscribe on all the episodes too. That helps us as well. Make sure you're following Tim, Darkness429 everywhere. Streaming fb.gg/Darkness429 Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. ish Eastern. And everything I do is at raredrop.co. But if you want to chat with me, it's KMagic101 on Instagram and KevinXVision on Twitter. But we hope you have a great week. This has been quite an episode, longer than usual, but well worth the chit chat. And we will catch up with you next week when we see how things play out in the Bad Batch and the Mandalorian. We're just a few weeks away from Star Wars Celebration. It's an exciting, exciting time.
It's a good time to be a Star Wars fan.
It really, really is. And if you're not into it, that's cool. There's plenty of other IPs you can enjoy.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing here if you're not into Star Wars? Get out of here. Go. Yeah. Leave. Turn it off.
Just go follow like Warhammer or something if that's what you're into. It's fine. But Tim,
am I supposed to take it away?
Oh yeah, we're done.
May the force be with you.
Bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.